Please join me as we continue our walk through the letters of 1 John, 2 John, 3rd, and we will eventually make our way to Jude. We are in the second chapter of 1 John, verse 15 through 17. And you have it on the projection in front of you, but as is the truth I give you, give ear to the infallible, inerrant, living word of our God. The Holy Spirit writes through the Apostle John, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Three words I'll start with that might give you a bit of a shock. Does God hate? Does God hate? Given the text that we covered last week and the text that's before us here, I thought it a prime opportunity to delve into this challenging topic of hate. Or it could be said also in equal parts of not loving. Last week we discussed verse 9. It says, whoever says he is in the light, in the way of God, in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also says he hates his brother, is still in darkness. And so, given that passage and what we spoke of last week, we are not to hate, but to love one another. However, this week, we are dealing with the opposite. A hatred, or not loving. Now, some might think that language of hate is a pretty strong language. But as we've learned before, sometimes that strong language is necessary to get our attention. Now, it might seem like a contradiction, as we have said time and time again, that God, who is love, can indeed also be a God that hates. And this is what the Bible teaches. As I've said in John's writings, time and again in different forms and fashions, he says God is love. But then also in different passages that teach that there are those things that God hates. God's nature is love, but he hates whatever is contrary to it. Therefore, the Christian, as I've entitled the sermon, the Christian must hate what God hates. Now, please understand, when the Bible speaks of God's hatred, the object of that hatred is, of course, sin and wickedness. Proverbs 6 gives us seven things that Solomon writes that God hates: pride, lying, murder, evil plots, those who love evil, false witnesses, and troublemakers. Now, there's one thing to please notice about that passage from Proverbs, the seven things I just mentioned. Does not just include things that God hates, but also people. And I see that. I see there's where it gets a little bit challenging. But God hates those individuals who love evil. That's a person. false witnesses. That's a person. And the reason is simple. Sin cannot be separated from the sinner. God hates lying. And lying involves a person. We refer to them as a liar who chooses to lie. God cannot judge the lie without also judging the liar. Now, this is that paradox, if you will, because we are told clearly in Scripture that God loves the people in the world. The famous verse that everyone in the room I know has memorized, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. We go back in the Old Testament in the book of Jonah, the wickedness of Nineveh. God sent Jonah. Now Jonah didn't want to go. He finally got there. Nineveh repented. And so we see an aspect of God loving people. In 2 Peter, we hear that God is saying, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And so there's this global love that God has. However, if we read, like in Psalm 5, God hates all evildoers. Psalm 11 gets even harsher. Speaking of God, his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Now, looking more specifically at our text and bringing that tone, if you will, into our text, verse 15, that says very emphatically, do not love the world. Okay, first, and it's sad that we have to do this, but what does the word love mean? But many in our world today use this word love so flippantly that we need to understand. This, of course, is the word agapeo, which means I love you, I wish you well, I take great pleasure in, I long. It has a deep devotion of love and great esteem. It is the highest level of love that we can portray. So if we were to say, I love the things of the world, it is to give those things of the world that kind of high esteem, and the world that does not have that kind of position to deserve such language. So if we say, I love the things of the world, I love this, it means that you are giving it the power to possess and govern, which can determine the pursuit of your life. It can determine the direction of your life. If we are too in love with the things of this world and all of its glittering, we fall prey to its influence and its guidance. This cannot be true for the Christian, because we must understand from this passage here, as we will get into, we can understand that there is no value in the things of the world, in loving anything the world has to offer. Again, do not love the world. And as we spoke of last week, we are to love one another, et cetera, et cetera. Again, from Jesus, the world, we know that you are disciples if we love one another. And so that there is that for the Christian. However, in that absolute love of God, and that being pure and undefiled love of God, demands an absolute hatred of the things that God cannot love. Hate means to have an extreme dislike or disgust, an intense hostility towards something. And so those seven things I gave you from Proverbs chapter 6 that says these are the things that God hates. What's the Christian position toward those things? Same thing. Should be. Same thing. We are called to love. As I said last week, the Christian church is defined, is identified by that word love. We are to love one another. We are to love. We are to be love. We are to be loving, etc. But here in this passage, we're also called to not love the things of the world. All right? Why is that the case? Why are we not to love the world? Here are several things to consider. First of all, we are not to love the world because of what the world is. Now, first thing we have to do is define the word, world. What does John mean in this context by this word, world? In the Greek, it's the word cosmos. Now, it could refer to the physical world. It could refer to the physical earth that we have the wonderful pleasure of living on. This is the thing God created. This is the thing that He put Adam and Eve on to live and to multiply. And so in this idea of the physical world, this can't be the thing that we hate, because we see specifically in Scripture that we're supposed to be stewards of this physical earth God created. So John's not speaking of that. It could mean the human world. As I said, John 3:16, God so loved the world. In 1 John chapter 2, we've talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that God is the atonement for the sins of the whole world. And so there is no differentiation between people groups, that God loves this group, but He doesn't love this. No, there's this surrounding love. So we don't think John is referring to the human world. So if we can love the physical world in that sense, and we see its beauty, and if we are called to love the human worlds as God Himself does, and went to the degree to send His Son into the world, so what is the world as given to us here by John? What is he speaking of that we are to not love or we are to hate? Well, quite simply, it is the spiritual system of evil in our world. We are to not love the evil things of our world. Now, we can define evil as those extreme things that we see clearly as being evil things. However, the spiritual system of evil consists of the things operating in this world that are simply in opposition to the ways of God. That opens that up to a pretty wide array of things. In Jesus' prayer in John 17, He said, speaking of the disciples, He says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So what John is saying is, you can't love the world because of what it is. It's a system of evil that is in opposition to the ways and the things of God. And God cannot be any part of those things. God is not. Therefore, the Christian must hate what God hates, and it's the system of evil that stands against His ways. And as I said, when we use that kind of verbiage defining evil, it opens it up to a pretty wide array of things in this world that stand against the ways of God. Secondly, we can't love the world because of who we are. We are the children of God who have in Jesus Christ overcome the world. We have the name of Jesus Christ written on our foreheads, as the book of Revelation points out. Peter writes, we are a holy priesthood, set apart. That word holy means to be set apart. It means to be different, not to be confined and influenced by those things of the world, but we are to be set apart. We're holy. We are to be a reflection of our Lord Jesus Christ to a dark and dying world. Therefore, we as children of God must not love the things of the world, because they stand stand in direct opposition to everything of God. And see, this is one of the great battles of the church today. The evangelical church today, many churches, not all, thankfully, thank the good Lord, but many of the churches today are trying their best to sort of dumb down things in here so that they're more accepting to a world out there, and they will be more apt to come in when things just don't sound so weird. The church is losing if they have that mindset. Folks, the Christian worship service is supposed to sound weird to the pagan. What do you think a non-Jew heard if they walked past a synagogue in first century BC, before Jesus came, but they walked past the synagogue, they were a non-Jew, and heard the things going on in the synagogue? Do you think they would have any idea what was going on in that room? Not whatsoever. Well, the Christian church is actually patterned after that conduct of the synagogue. Now, with Jesus coming and the disciples, it evolved, but anyway, we're God's people, so we can't love that system of evil, those things of God, those things of the world that are in contrary to. And as I pointed out, we don't love the world because of the system of evil. We don't love the world, the system of evil, because of what it does. And what does this world, this system of evil, do? It tempts us to sin. That's its purpose. If the things of this world are not of God, then they won't tempt you to come and be a part of these things that are not of God. And that's called sin. And it is designed to tempt that way by its ruler, Satan. Verse 16 makes it very clear. Look at verse 16 with me once more. Again, it says, don't love the world. Then verse 16, for all that is in the world, then it gives us three categories. The desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. And some of your translations, that pride of life may also say pride of possessions. So what are the desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and the pride of life? These are simply categories of things that John is bringing out. These are the selfish desires of a person that can feed the cravings of the body. The desires of the flesh. I want those things that feed me. I want those things that make me happy. Feeding that earthliness, the fleshy sinfulness, the desires a person can have that can be seen, to satisfy the desires of the eyes. As I've told you before, my professor, Dr. Kelly, said the greatest sin of the United States, in his opinion, is materialism. And this is what he's speaking to, the desire of the eye. I want, I want, I want. And if I get it, I want a bigger one. And if I get that, I want another bigger one, better one. Well, my friend Jim got one. I need a bigger one. Materialism, the desires of the eye. And then the pride of life, as I said, the pride of possessions. What's the old adage? He who dies with the most toys wins. And this is what the world does, that evil system. Most of it is not just the pure petrified evil. Most of it is that subtle temptation, using these traps in the world to lead us astray, to tempt the Christian away from God. And so the Christian must hate the world, its evil system, because it opposes God. It just wants to incite and oppose and tempt to sin. It's impossible for the love of the world to coexist with the love of God. And as I said, that's where the church is just failing. We don't want to stand out there in great opposition saying, world, you're going to hell. Well, if I say that, they're not going to listen to me anymore anyway. If the Holy Spirit's there, he will. But we're afraid to say that. So, just quick review. We're not to love the world because of what it is, Satan's kingdom. We're not to love it because of who we are, God's family. And we don't love it because of what it does. It seduces us to sin. But there's one final point that John makes here in verse 17. Let me read that to you again. And the world is passing away, thank the Lord, along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Hope. There's hope. The world is passing away, and when it does, all of its evil desires will go with it. So, us being the smart, wise people that all of us are, why would we waste energy and time investing in something that is going to not be here? Now, this word, the Greek word for that phrase, passing away, means that it is disintegrating. It is falling apart. It will self-destruct. And it is because of the death principle, the principle of God's creation, is that the world is dying. Part of the punishment, the discipline for the curse of Adam and Eve was not just cursing them, but also cursing this world, this environment. This is passing away. You've heard, if you can remember back to your high school and college days, this term, the law of entropy, a thermodynamics term. It's easier for us to understand. It's called the law of decay. It's present and easy to see. Watch a house, just a simple house, that no one lives in. What does it do over time? No one lives in it. What does it do over time? Disintegrates. The law of entropy. I was digging out some lumber around from the back of the house. It's been laying out there for a while. It was a perfectly piece of good wood when I laid it there a couple of years ago. What is it now? Decayed. It's a piece of rotten wood. It's the natural law, if you will. But this is the world passing away. The physical earth is dying every day. Isaiah 24. The earth is utterly broken. The earth is split apart. The earth is violently shaken. The earth staggers like a drunken man. It sways like a hut. Its transgressions lies heavy upon it, and it falls, and it will not rise again. So, this will one day all pass away. However, if we read all of verse 17, which I have, the second part of 17, the world is passing away, but he says, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. And we will abide forever in that new heaven and new earth that's coming. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, this present form of the world is passing away, which means its schemes, its systems of the world, all of that's passing away. But whoever does the will of the Father abides forever. So, Christian, folks, let us not fall into the lure of the things of the world. One day they won't be here. So we are to hate, and I know that's strong language. We are to hate what God hates. Therefore, we can't love the ways of the world because of what it is, because of who we are, and because of what the world does to us. So let us turn away from the things and its temptations. And, as Matthew writes, Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be given unto you. Amen. Amen.